Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This is The Drive on KFH.
Welcome to a Tuesday edition of The Drive here on KFH Radio. Bob Lutz, Jeff Lutz are with you, as well as Max Power, the producer and engineer of the show. And we have a busy, busy show today. Out of the normal, we're going to jump right into it. Jim Ryan joins us on the Twin Peaks Scenic Views Hotline. Of course, one of the great middle-distance runners in the history of our country. Grew up right here in Wichita, went to East High School and KU, and represented the United States not only in the Olympics but in government. Mr. Ryan, welcome to our show. Thanks for being on with us.
You're welcome. It's a pleasure to be with you.
It's great to have you on. Now, you're going to be one of the headliners at our 150 for 150 event coming up here in Wichita on August 15th at Koch Arena. We're thrilled that you'll be here for that. Tell us a little bit about your excitement for that event and coming back to Wichita and being with a bunch of other really outstanding athletes to come out of our city.
Well, I want to thank Bob for all his work in putting this together. First of all, it's quite an honor to be among that 150 group. But for me, it's just a pleasure to come back home and be with friends and to recount stories of how Wichita participated in making it happen. I mean, the wonderful accolades I have, you know, I got to thank God for the talent I have and the coaches I had, but there were so many other people who made it possible. So it will be a pleasure to be back and reminisce and just express gratefulness.
So we're obviously, Jim, honoring high school athletes here. I want to know what it was like. You experienced it, so I don't know if you'll be able to have kind of an outsider's perspective on it. But, you know, nowadays it's not uncommon for high school athletes to get a lot of attention in basketball or other sports with their achievements. But back when you ran the sub-4-minute mile in high school, were a lot of high school athletes getting attention? Did that feel rare to you? Did it feel almost like it came out of nowhere in a way?
Well, because of the uniqueness of it, I mean, I had a miserable experience growing up in the sense of being cut from every team I tried out for in grade school and junior high, that when success started coming my way as a sophomore in high school and cross country, in a sense, I was living the dream. I remember as a junior high boy going to bed after being cut from the basketball team. And by the way, I'm grateful for the coaches that had the courage to cut me, because I could have been potentially a mediocre basketball player or some other sport, but they just didn't see the future in it. And so I'd go to bed every night and I'd say, dear God, look, it's not going well. You know, I got cut from the church baseball team too, so that's not a bright future. So I'd go to bed and I'd say, dear God, if you got a plan, I'd appreciate it if you show up. And by the way, if you could do it in sports, I'd really appreciate that. Having said all that, when I started running, you know, cross country and track had some notoriety, especially at East High School. Coach Timmons had built basically a dynasty with the cross country track and actually the swim team as well. I didn't know that when I went there, but as I got to live, if you will, the dream, I started realizing the uniqueness of where I was, and it was such a pleasure to be in the right place at the right time.
Jim Ryan, our guest, a sub-4-minute miler in high school. And what's so impressive about that is, yeah, you broke that 4-minute barrier, but then you went on to do it again and again. It was certainly no fluke. That had to be very gratifying to you to know that, hey, this is what I do now.
Well, you know, there's a story that goes with it. See, my first track meet, I was actually third on a 3-man team at East High School going to the South High Invitational. And I knew and understood nothing about running or strategy. So I went to one of the older runners on the team and I said, well, how do you run a mile? I mean, it was 4 laps around the track. But, you know, strategy was something else. And so I've forgotten who it was, but one of the seniors said, well, just stay with the leaders and have half a lap to go out and sprint everybody else. So half a lap to go, I'm in a good position. And I started sprinting. And so the guy beside me did, and we crossed the finish line. He won by a tenth of a second. He was the defending state champion at 1 mile. But I got hooked on running as a result of that. So it was one of those times when things happened very quickly. one of the point deposits after my fourth high school race, as we're riding the old school bus from Kansas City back to Wichita, and in those days there were no TVs, no smartphones. You just kind of bounced along and talked a little bit. But Coach Timmons didn't want any opportunity to be passed up, so he saved a seat up in front of the bus and called us up one by one to talk about our performance. And so he's the inspiration, not just for me, but for so many others. I sat down, and I'd run a 420, 21-mile at the Washington relays. And he said, you know, how fast you can run. Of course, I didn't know how fast I could really run. So I said, well, I ran 421 today. Maybe tomorrow with the wind behind my back, maybe 420, which there is no wind behind your back on an oval track. And before I really got a chance to say anything more, he said, I think you can be the school record holder. Well, the school record was 408, which is a national record. And he had my attention at that point. And I thought, wow, where are we going with this? And then he said, Dr. Bannister was the first man in 1954. This conversation with Coach Timmons is 1963. After four races, he said, I think you can be the first high school boy to run into 4 minutes. I listened politely, and I went back to the back of the bus after that. And I thought, wow, where am I going with this? How's this going to happen? But that was the uniqueness of it all. And so, you know, that's why those were golden years in many respects for the track and field and for East High School and then for runners in our country for the next 15, 20 years.
So, Jim, you talked about being cut from playing basketball and playing baseball. You ended up being a world-class athlete. So there's part of me that thinks, well, if you just would have put the time in that you did with running, you probably would have become great at either of those sports. But how much of running a sub-4-minute mile and becoming a world-class athlete was just natural ability? I imagine you had to develop quite a bit in track and field as well. So how did that process go for you?
Well, Bob, I'll refer this a little bit back to you as a runner as well, and that is you can have talent, but you've got to have somebody kind of reach down inside of the soul and pull it out. And that's what Coach Timmons was good at with me particularly. He looked and he saw and he decided and he put together a plan. And, you know, it was one of those times when, you know, perhaps you're right, Bob. If I'd been a basketball player or some other sport, I might have made a lot of money. But that wasn't my goal. And I realized Coach Timmons' motivation gave me a great inspiration to at least attempt to do what he gave me to do. And so as I look back on it now, there's an element of it that's talent. Yes, I don't deny that. But you've got to have someone who can take that talent, like, if you will, clay on a potter's wheel and mold it into something. And that's what Coach Timmons was doing, not only with me, but with so many of the other athletes. He wanted them to realize their potential. And that was part of his coaching philosophy, was to get you to your best, help you get there, and give you the tools for that. And then he also emphasized that it wasn't just sports, but it was your life after sports that would be the biggest part of your life to live. So what you learn in sports would be applicable to what you could learn and apply in life later. So it was a really golden time. It was so golden that ESPN picked me as high school athlete of the century over Tiger Woods and LeBron James, an honor I look back on now. And again, I thank the Wichita people and coaches and fans and friends that, you know, made it all possible.
Jim Ryan, our guest, you kind of got me on the Bob Timmons stuff. I was going to ask you about him because not only was he a fantastic track and field coach, but also an unbelievable swimming coach. He's one of those rare people who probably would have had marvelous success coaching any sport. So what was it about Bob Timmons that allowed him to unlock not only your potential, but the potential in so many other athletes that he coached through the years?
Well, one thing about Coach Timmons that I think, and as I reflect on your question, made him remarkable, was his interest in asking questions, knowing that he didn't have the answers. So when he started swimming, or rather as a swimming coach, he didn't know anything about swimming. So he just started asking questions and trying to find out, you know, how they would train, what strategy would be, and all those sort of things. And so having said that, he did the same thing with my running. So as it began to develop, as an example, in 1964, both of us were kind of blown away by this. I qualified for our national championships. I qualified for the Olympic trials. He would go up to some of the older runners, not only as a miler, but other events, distance running, and say, so now I want to talk to you about training. Tell me what you've done to get yourself to this position. So he was inquisitive. He was looking, knowing he didn't have the answers. He was always trying to find something that would help. But again, kind of answering your question, he was willing to ask that question to find out how that person got to where they were.
So obviously you went on to an extremely important and influential political career. How running did you do recreationally, you know, post-college and post-Olympics? Did you ever think about training for a marathon or anything like that? Was that something that crossed your mind?
No, you know, I really didn't. I mean, quite honestly, Coach Timmons had me in the 1963 when I was a junior, running 20 miles on Sundays, which was a long ways to go because the time I got back and ready for Monday, I didn't always have a good workout on Monday. So I wasn't all that interested in the marathon. At that point in time, marathoning wasn't what it is now. I was, by the grace of God, enjoying success in the middle distance, so I really didn't want to branch out to something that long. So the interest level in that area or that distance just wasn't there.
We're talking with Jim Ryan, a 1965 graduate of Wichita East High School, three-time Olympian, former Sportsman of the Year in Sports Illustrated. He'll be in Wichita on August 15th for the 150 for 150 event. Jim, I've often included you in a discussion that involves three athletes to come out of Wichita that you could argue that they're the greatest ever in their particular sport. You, of course, in middle distance running, Lynette Woodard in women's basketball, and Barry Sanders in football. It's a remarkable testament to Wichita that the three of you not only went to high school here but grew up here.
Yeah, you did. Well, but I think it's the nature of part of the Midwest as well. You know, people with great values and willing to take, if you will, every sport requires a risk in taking the adventure to see where you can go with it. And so, you know, they did and I did. And, you know, again, by the grace of God, it went well. But we also had many, many people along the way that contributed in different ways. Let me give you an example. One of the people I'll reflect on was my high school principal, Sid Moore. Wonderful man. He was the principal that kept everything at peace at school. And, you know, he contributed in another way. He made a bet with the superintendent of schools that I would run under 4 minutes in high school. And he bet $1. And he won. And though as funny as remote as that may be, he took that dollar bill and posted it on his office in a frame and kept that. But there are just many memories like that. Different people. Dr. Moore contributed by just showing support and doing what he could in any little way to make it possible for those great goals to be achieved.
So I would say that for everything that you accomplished, It's at least arguable that you are probably most worldly renowned for the 4 minute mile in high school, the sub 4 minute in high school. So does talking about that make you feel young? Do you feel like you're stuck in those days, reliving them at all? Do you like that?
Well, I could relive that for about 5 minutes and I get out and run and I realize it's not there anymore. That's a very special time. It was a unique time. And it was when track and field was at a very special place in history. So that particular race in 1964 was in Compton, California, June 4th, 1964. It was Compton, California, the Compton Relays. At that time, it was one of the best attended, best known track meets in the world, and you had world-class people coming in. I'll mention Peter Snell, who was a double gold medalist in 1964 at the Tokyo Olympics. You had that class of athlete coming in at different times. And so when that race unfolded in 1964, I will say that at 600 yards into the race, I got bumped by another runner, stepped off in the infield, had to wait till the pack went by, and I regained my stride, but I was uncomfortable because of the change of rhythm. And then with about 50 yards to go in that race, I looked at seven guys in front of me. I thought, oh, boy, this isn't going so well. But I got across the finish line, and in a typical runner's pose, your hands on your knees and gasping for air, and on the public address system, the announcer said something has happened in the sport of distance running miling that's never happened before. There were, for the first time ever, 8 men under 4 minutes. And I thought, am I a man or a boy? You know, so we counted. I was number 8, and that was at that moment when I became the first high school boy to run under 4 minutes. And actually, I used that example in our camps. Ryan, your listeners can go to ryanrunning.com, ryurnrunning.com. And I share that story with them from the standpoint of, see, up until that point in 1964, June 4th, I had lived what Coach Timmons gave me to do in training. And while I had doubts in the beginning, it began to unfold, and then it happened. And that night, I couldn't sleep because I thought, wow, because I knew there were little things where I could give what I like to tell them is giving your best, doing something. You know what you can do that the coach can't do. And so reaching a little deeper. In other words, if you take ownership of what you're doing. And so that night, as I, you know, kind of slept and got up the next morning and answered media requests, I thought, I wonder what would happen if I took greater ownership of my running and my life in general at that point. And so that is a point we make in our Jim Ryan running camps, is that coach can only take you so far. And then at some point you have to decide you want to own that. And when you do, that's when you usually things begin to take off in an even greater fashion.
We're at final moments here with Jim Ryan, and you're headed back to Tokyo for the 2020 Summer Games. You were there, obviously, for the Olympics earlier, and you were also competed in the Mexico City and the Munich Olympics. How special will that be for you, Jim, to get back to Tokyo?
Well, I don't know that I'm going yet, but I hope I am. We're making every effort we can. It'll be very special because 1964 was to... Okay, Tokyo Olympics in 1964 was supposed to be the 1940 Tokyo Olympics, but there's this thing that came along called World War II that interrupted all of that. And so in 1964, when the Olympics were held there, you got a great sense from the people in general and the government and everything that they really wanted to show the rest of the world that they were a peaceful nation, a peaceful group of people. And just two quick stories. I'll make them fast. I know your time's short there, but... after the Olympic Games are over, I discovered that you could purchase the little commemorative coins, which are gold, silver, and bronze. They're very small, about the size of a quarter or a nickel. And I went down to the bank to purchase them and found out that it was the last day and found out that I was lacking one piece of identity, which was my Olympic passport, my Olympic identification. I had my passport. And they said, well, just a minute, the teller did. And so she... went to the back of the bank, came back to the teller window and said, just come back when you get everything. And I said, well, that's 2 hours. You'll be closed by then. She said, no, come to the back door. We'll wait for you. And I thought, oh, boy, you know, here I am, high school junior. So I went back to the village about an hour ride each way, 2 hours total. And when I got back and banged on the back of the door, I waited a little bit. Nothing happened. I thought, gosh, here I am, a kid from Kansas. Banged a second time, and the door opened, and there was the teller. And she ushered me into the bank president, and he sold me the coins. I still have them. But I think it was, again, that moment in time when, you know, the country was trying to put a better foot forward to show that they were a peace-loving country.
Wow. Well, Jim, it's really a pleasure, as always, to talk with you, and we can't wait to see you and your wife here in Wichita coming up in August. Thanks for calling us today and spending some time with us.
My pleasure. Thanks for all the work that Bob's done, and I look forward to seeing you guys in August.
All right. Thank you, Jim. Jim Ryan, who will be here on August the 15th, and I'll introduce myself at that time.
I met
him once a long time ago. Just looking at his achievements, which I obviously don't do every day, but my goodness, he was chosen as the high school athlete of the century.
It's pretty amazing.
He won the Sullivan Award in 1966 as the nation's top amateur athlete. What he did, and you have to kind of go back in time to kind of relish it, because people don't run the mile anymore, but at the time, the mile was the premier race.
Right.
Bigger than the 100 or any other thing. It was the event that defined track and field, and here's this guy out of nowhere who becomes this sensation.
Right, yeah.
Incredible. And you wonder why I relive things.
No, I get it. That's a landmark moment in the history of sports, and it happened right here in Wichita. That's rare, very rare.
Here's what's going to happen on the show today. Good luck topping that. Vivian Campbell, guitarist for Def Leppard, will join our show at 4:45. At 5:25, it's time to play the game. And at 5:40, we got another Olympian, a Paralympian, Nick Taylor, who's been one of the most phenomenal athletes to ever come out of Wichita as well. He's done it in wheelchair tennis, and he is currently driving from California to Texas to try to qualify for the 2020 Paralympic Games in Tokyo.
Wow.
So he will join us at 5:40. He will also be part of the 150 for 150 event coming up in August. Max, let's take a break. Before we do, though, we've got tickets to give away, and we're doing that all week long here on The Drive. First up, Black Oak, Arkansas. You want to win a pair to see them at the Wave this Friday night. Be caller number 3 at 869-1240. It's all from the show and the station that loves it live, The Drive on Sports Radio KFH.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.